Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on December 4th, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Okay, please welcome Perry Tony Gamios and Despy Tony Callum and Nina Karen Allen. Where's Karen? She slipped out. That's Tony. Well, you know that's Tony Gamios. And that's Tony G. We're going to call you Tony G. And Tony Callum, Tony K. And Karen Allen is detained. Okay. So, I've got to say, you all look great. So does Karen. Karen was here this morning for Raiders of the Lost Ark, which accounts for the popcorn mess we had this morning. It was jam-packed with kids. And there she is, yes. Nina. Absolutely. Now, we got to reveal something. None of these three people are actually from the Bronx. Tony G., you're from?
Originally from Brooklyn, and
Microphone, yeah. Brooklyn.
And how's that?
Tony K.
Originally from Brooklyn, then the Rochelle.
Yeah. New Jersey. Close enough. Is your mic on?
I don't think
so. Just flip it on.
Hello?
Say New Jersey again.
New Jersey.
Okay,
New Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. And you're...
I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I thought you grew up in Illinois. You were born...
No, I was born in Illinois. Yeah, but I left there when I was just a baby.
Oh, that's why you, yeah. That's why you shouldn't get all your information from the IMDb. But you grew up in Washington, but you traveled around, so you really were an outsider growing up, like in the movie.
Yeah, well, we did. We traveled around a lot, but then I lived in New York, from the time I was 17. So
a New Yorker.
Yeah,
but you didn't do the accent. Did you have coaching for the Bronx nuances, or did you just use your Jersey accent?
I had no accent before. I spent 3 months on Arthur Avenue with a tape recorder.
Really?
And I found a person who was Despy for me, who was in the movie. I told Phil about her. And she's the beautiful buxom blonde with the pink.
Linda Artuso.
Yeah. And she became my Despy.
Really?
And I would go stay at her house overnight, and she taught me all the dances.
Really?
And then Phil got rid of the choreographer he had and brought Linda in to teach us the real dances.
I thought you had always played Italian girls.
She was my first...
But
Italian.
You weren't.
No, I played an Italian on a soap first.
On Another World, you played Angie.
Yeah, that was my first Angie.
And you also played Angie on The Sopranos. So you.
Yes.
She was the widow of Big Pussy, remember? Which is a word you could say in public now for some reason. I don't know why. Tony G, you had never acted before, which I find hard to believe.
No, I did not. That was my first time.
I find it hard to believe, and I'm not just saying that because he's a big guy, but but you're amazing in the movie, like everybody. How did this come about? How did you get the part? You had never done any acting, theater, film, or anything.
No. Basically, my uncle forced me to go
bring
down
it up
and audition. My uncle was a really big guy, and he kind of forced me, and I was scared, so I did what he told me, and that's what happened.
But you were bodybuilder.
I was a power lifter, but he was a bodybuilder. He was a really good one. And I was just really afraid of him, so I did what he told me to do.
So how many people were up for the part of Perry?
I think there were like 40 guys that screen tested for it. That's what I remember.
So I read in an interview, you once said you at the time you thought acting was for sissies. Do you still feel that?
no. I just
you've made a pretty good career
with,
of it, haven't you? Yeah.
I just used to like make fun of him, and then now I can't make fun of him anymore.
But were you automatically comfortable in front of the camera because it looks like you were made for movies?
As long as they didn't look into it or look near it, I was okay.
And the bit with the matchstick, is that something you was that your bit of business or was that directed?
I kind of chewed a match for some stupid reason since I was a teenager.
Oh, you mean that was your own?
Yeah.
Okay. And later you played Perry again in another Philip Kaufman movie.
Actually, that's supposed to be the same character.
Really? The movie was called Rising Sun with Sean Connery, right?
Yeah.
And you played a character called Perry who chews matchsticks. Yeah. Okay.
That's a little bit of trivia.
Okay. Did a little research on this. Tony, how did you get the part? You had never made a movie before either. You had done a lot of television.
This was my first movie. I auditioned for 3 months, 8 times. And then finally, the last time I went in, I had heard something that maybe my tits weren't big enough. So I went in and I wore a tube top and a push-up bra. Remember tube tops?
Yeah.
And I said to Bill, are these fucking big enough? And then that was it.
I don't remember that in the book. Actually, in the book, Despy was another character in the book. I don't remember any description of the breasts, actually. So, Karen, how did you... You had been in movies.
I had only done one film.
No.
I did Animal House. That
didn't
was,
you do one other before that, 2 years before that?
Gosh.
See, I
maybe did a little... I did a little film for the AFI that was not a... You know, it was a just a little experimental kind of film. But no, I'd only done Animal House. And then, you know, because it was the first film... You know, you have to wait this unbearable year for the film to come out, and because you know you've gotten this one opportunity, and people are waiting to see what's going to happen with the film. So, I think I met Phil Kaufman right around the time Animal House had just come out, and I think I went in and met him once or twice, but he wanted Nina to be not have an accent, to not be from the Bronx, that he felt she lived on the Grand Concourse and that her family was, you know, not really a Bronx family, right. so to speak.
That comes across, yeah. Yes. But Animal House was a huge hit.
Yes, yes, it was.
I'll never forget you in those pajama tops. and then, but this film, did this do anything for your career?
The Wanderers?
I always thought there was a connection between your being cast in Raiders, because Philip Kaufman, who wrote the story for Raiders, directed this, but it actually doesn't have a connection.
Well, it may very well. I mean, John Landis was a good friend of Spielberg's, mm-hmm. and Phil and Spielberg know each other well. And then I did a film... called A Small Circle of Friends that Rob Cohen directed, right. And they were also good friends. So the first three films I had done were all somehow... So I think when he was going to cast Raiders of the Lost Ark, he asked to meet me based on not only the films, but on, I think, having conversations with those three directors, right. And they said they had enjoyed working with me, or... yeah.
So would you consider this, with Raiders, of course, one of the highlights of your early career?
The Wanderers?
Yeah.
Well, I certainly love the film. I mean, yes. Yeah, I loved working with Phil. I mean, he was just, you know, a lovely person to work with. And Richard Price's book, too, I think is an extraordinary book.
A masterpiece.
Yeah.
Which he wrote when he was 23. I hate him.
Yeah.
it's brilliant. It's quite different from the film.
Yeah.
Actually, Richard is actually here.
Is he?
Just as a guest star.
Yay!
Guest appearance.
Hey, Richard.
He'll be here tomorrow night. You have to pay another admission to see him. He'll be here tomorrow night after the movie talking with Brian Rose, and we have copies of the novel at our concession. And really, it's amazing. Really evocative of Bronx in the early 60s. Have you all read the book?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Did you use the book to prepare your characters?
I read the book many times to pull everything I possibly could out of it. But my main thing was I had to figure out how to be Despy.
Despy is actually another character in the book. C is Richie's girlfriend in the novel.
Hmm.
Right, Richard? Am I correct? There's another character called Despy. Let's not split hairs. And you all went on. Did this help your career, Tony? You got some great meaty... actually, you played a character called Meat.
Yes.
In Porky's.
I think that I didn't have to audition for that because of this. Not that it's some, you know, great thing that I did when I got Porky's, but this helped me.
Yeah. Hey, don't knock it.
Yeah.
Were you typecast, Tony K,
After as a this,
yeah. Do you feel
I
you
had a yeah? I really do. After this, I did Private Benjamin.
You were Gianelli.
Gianelli, and that was like you're talking about. No one filmmaker knowing another filmmaker. I think a lot had to do with that. The director Howard Zeef had seen this, but more importantly, he was friends with Phil, so he was looking for a real tough Italian, and he had met me, and I was too little for him to believe I could be tough, so Phil said.
But I read something on Wikipedia that says you're not really Italian. Is this true? You don't want to reveal because the casting agents are in the...
It is Cain. That, you know what Cain means? That's yes in Hebrew.
Oh, sure. Oh. Of course I knew that. You want to take some questions from the audience?
Sure.
Anybody? Front row? Wait for the microphone, please.
So can you still dance? Can you still do the dance moves that you got that you learned?
I'll never forget those dance moves. Never. Sweep the floor in Popeye. That was all thanks to Linda Artuso. We went in her basement in her rec room with the wood paneling that she really had. And she put on all her 45s and taught me all the dances. We stayed up all night. I'd sleep on her couch and learn the dances.
This was not a huge hit, but it did okay. It made its money back, I think. But it later got so-called cult status. It was reissued in 96, I think.
It came out at the same time as The Warriors. So
oh,
that was the
Richard
band.
Told me it came out just now in the lobby. Told me it came out the very day as The Warriors,
oh God,
with
wow,
a name that's just indistinguishable.
Yeah.
So you could see why that would have
yeah,
hurt.
It was
yes,
terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I'm always amazed when I'm in London or various parts of Europe. It's a huge, huge cult film there. So I mean, it doesn't. I don't know that it's ever sort of achieved the kind of status here that it has.
Well, it will after this screening.
Yeah.
I think.
Yay!
Isn't there there's a Warriors Club in Telluride, Colorado.
There's
where
a
they
Wanderers Club.
I mean, sorry, I said Warriors.
Yeah, you did.
It's even.
That's why it failed.
I meant to book the Warriors here today. Actually, the Warriors was a big deal, but now that's almost forgotten, and this is the one that has the cult status, I think. Do you agree? The Warriors was very controversial at the time.
Yeah, people really seem to know this film.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've had people come up to me in the street and go, Richie.
Let's talk about Richie. Ken Wall later went on to big success on television, and Wise Guy, and Tony, you were on that too.
Yes, I was.
On the television show. Mm-hmm. And Joey, fantastic performance by
John Friedrich.
And he just disappeared.
Well, you know, I talk to him every now and then. He lives in New Mexico, although I think he was going to move out to California again. But no, he went off in a whole different direction in his life. And, you know, he has, again, kind of started to stick his toe back into the acting world, or he's trying to, yeah. But he raised a family and went into the teaching profession.
He's wonderful in this.
He's wonderful.
And also Linda Manns is great in this.
Yes.
And
she
something
is.
Else Richard told me in the lobby was that the actor who plays Terror, who is bigger than you, Tony, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah. Was actually in love with Linda Manns. That's what... That's
I did
it
not
might
know
be
that.
Apocryphal. Did you know this, Tony?
No, but I do know that Erlen was an MIT graduate, and he was what he did by trade was he designed computer systems for banks.
Wow. And he was an opera singer.
At the Amato Opera on Bowery, which and also he was a professional wrestler. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Renaissance man.
Yeah, it's an amazing guy.
Now, is this true that he could actually lift you over his head? Or is that apocryphal? I doubt it. Come on. No.
Well, maybe it's possible, but we never tried.
I tend to doubt that one. Okay. Any other questions? Back there.
I had the privilege of being cast as a wanderer. It was my first film, and this is a very special day for me. I have a question that's been haunting me for years, ever since working on it. The very first screening that I went to for The Wanderers, I met who I believe was Erlen sitting next to me, but he actually told me there were two terrors. Is this true? In other words, the exterior was, the interior scenes were Erland.
Oh. Richard has the answer to that one.
Hi. I don't know about there being two terrors on screen, but I do know that the day they were filming the Wanderers on Fordham Road, you know, signing up for the Marines, I'm up there, you know, impressing some date, like I wrote this, and so you have these giant shave-headed actors in like these leather jackets that look like they came from Christopher Street boutiques, or, you know, it's really wrong. And anyways, I'm watching this, you know, and all of a sudden I feel like somebody grabs my wrist. I turn around, I don't see anybody. I look down, there's a guy that's smaller than Joe Pesci, and he says, "How do you know me?" I said, "What are you talking about?" "How do you know me? I'm Terra." "What?" He says, "My name is Muzzy the Terra. Everybody knew me as the Terra from the Baldies." I said, I didn't even know. And he wouldn't let go of my arm. I said, "I just want you to know what gave you the right to write about me." And all of a sudden, I realized this guy is nuts. And he's got that cross-eyed crazy look. And Danny Aiello Jr., who was in the movie but is also a stunt worker, but knows that part of the Bronx and all the Italians there, he had to come over and he put his arm around Muzzy the Terror, this little guy. I thought he was going to start like chewing from the ankles up. I said, "Hey, Muzz, come on, let go of the guy. Let's take a walk." And he walks away and he's going, "Danny, how did he know me? How does he know me? Who the hell does he think he is to write about me?" So, yeah, I know the second Terror, that's all.
You actually came across some real gang members on the shoot, correct? When you were shooting the fight in Van Cortlandt Park at the end?
There were a lot of strange problems with that fight. It took like a week to film that entire thing, and it was hectic. A lot of people got hurt.
Really? And
yes.
Apparently there were some real Baldies there?
No, I don't think
were
so.
Were the Baldies real?
The Baldies were real, but they weren't there.
And this is also from online, but what?
Who's writing this crap?
I don't know. But it's still a good line. Print the legend. "The movie is a lie," one of them said. "This was not a bad neighborhood. There was no crime, no robbery. Murder, yes, but no crime." This was filmed on location around Fordham Road, Gun Hill Road, in the Bronx.
Yes.
I was asking, that's the same neighborhood as Marty, right? Bronx Heights?
You mean the 1955?
Yeah, the Ernest Borgnine.
It's the Bronx, but I don't know the exact spot that was supposed to be filmed in.
What?
Marty was on Archer Street.
I just remember RKO Fordham and Marty. I just have that image of it. Any other questions from the audience? Back there with the Captain America shirt. Okay.
Can you tell me a little bit about the song you guys are singing in the car, Stranger Girl? It's not on the soundtrack, and I heard one of the actors actually wrote the song.
Yes, well, it is on the Wanderers has a Japanese album, and it was included on that. And the song was written by Jim Youngs. He wrote the song. The bass lyric was stolen from a Jan and Dean song, Baby Talk. But Jimmy wrote the song, and some people out there re-recorded it. They actually it's been re-recorded by some rock group. It's on YouTube. But Jim Youngs wrote that song. So that's the deal.
You can download you can buy the whole soundtrack on iTunes. It's great. It's a wonderful soundtrack. One of the best use of vintage music. So let's talk about you today. You're all writers and directors. Tony, you've got a movie project?
Well, I had a
Tony
movie project,
G first.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, whichever Tony wants to talk.
Yeah. All the guys from Porky's are going to reunite to do this movie, Daddy's Girls, which is about a bunch of old reprobates that are forced to raise their teenage daughters as single parents. And we hit a little stumbling block, but we're still going to try to finish it. And me and a couple of guys started our own distribution company, which we are hoping to carry through. And we have a picture that we like to put in theaters. It's called Bronx Paradise. And the man that wrote and starred in it is sitting right there.
Wow.
Wayne German.
And Tony K, yes. You wrote an episode of The Sopranos.
Yes, I acted on The Sopranos, and then I wrote for it as well, playing an Angie, another Angie. And then I wrote and directed a film called A Slipping Down Life, based on an Ann Tyler book that stars Guy Pearce and Lily Taylor. And now I'm going to start on a new film of mine that I wrote called Layover that I will direct, that's starring Penelope Cruz.
And you're not going to be in it as an Italian girl. No,
No.
Okay.
No.
And Karen, you just made a film.
I directed your first.
Is it a short or feature?
Well, the one I just directed is a short, and the one that I've just done as an actor is based on Joan Anderson's memoir called Gear by the Sea. But the one I just directed is it's based on Carson McCullough's short story, A Tree, a Rock, a Cloud.
Oh.
And we just finished it maybe month and a half ago. So it's going to hopefully go into the festival season.
And I'm hoping we could do something here with it. We were talking about that
earlier. Yeah, that would be great.
Great. Well, thank you all so much. Incredible afternoon. Tony Ganios, Tony Callum, and Karen Allen. And Richard Price, who will be here tomorrow night at the 8 o'clock show, signing books after the movie.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.